about. Can you hear me? Are you ready to shake up the world? Welcome to the revolution.
What happened to Madonna's face?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Hey, Ralph, you got to help me out here. I'm, like, really parched. So thirsty. I need something to quench my thirst right now.
Tomato juice? No.
No, not tomato juice.
Carrot juice? No.
Not carrot juice.
Grape juice? No.
No, I'm not grape juice. Is there anything else? Anything else you can give me?
Orange. Yes, orange.
And now.
You know, when I was young, and when I was, of course, I feel young. I feel like I'm 30, 35, 39. Somebody said, are you young? I said, I think I'm young.
Our feature presentation.
So you're coming around to that song now, Bean?
Not for
Big
me.
Big fan?
Not for me, actually. It's a hard pass over here. Thank you.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. Does it?
Hallie, no?
It's still not sounding great, okay. But it doesn't bother me.
Maybe a few more listens.
Maybe
that'll do
it. Yeah.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 23rd of January.
I never realized until checking out President Trump's address to the CIA this weekend. And that's where, are you young? I feel young. I am young. I used to be young. I'm not young anymore, but I feel young and I'm sort of young.
That's where he
somebody
said
asked me, am I young? And I said, yeah, I'm young. It occurred to me how much Kevin has in common with President Trump.
How?
In that,
dare
for a number of reasons, not some of the more abrasive edges. I don't think you're a massive narcissist, for instance. But when he starts a sentence, he has no idea where it's going to end. Don't you think?
It's an exciting way to live, Bean.
It is.
Uh-huh.
It's like the Zero Club of speech.
Yes.
You're on empty, but you're going to keep going.
And I'm not sure where.
Right. There's no reasonable explanation. You're going to make it to your destination, but that doesn't mean you don't keep your foot on the gas.
Oh, dear.
And he has all the best ideas. He doesn't do any of the research. He doesn't know anything, but he's convinced that he is the man who can get the job done.
Yeah. He has more in common with the Armenian comedian, I feel like.
Oh, you're not wrong.
But the confidence versus the abilities.
Right.
Yeah. But it was just, it's really
good.
Fascinating. It's fascinating.
Fascinating.
It's a miracle.
It's no way to live.
Nope. It's not a miracle.
I'll tell you that.
Well, really?
It's no way to live.
Not the word you use, Ellie?
No, it is not.
So anyway, just keep your eye on that. When you see some of these convoluted paragraphs that come out of our president's mouth, I want you to notice the similarities between what you hear on the radio here in the morning and what you're seeing on the TV.
I'd rather that I wasn't somehow tied in with.
Hey, speaking of the weekend, Allie, I'm very eager to hear your breakdown. You've had a great deal of concerns because you're very worried about your little Patriots,
mm-hmm.
yet all they do is win.
Yeah.
How are you feeling now?
I mean, they looked amazing. They looked better yesterday than they have looked to me in weeks.
No dip for Allie.
But I can't have any dip. And it's going to be hard to enjoy a cocktail. And I've made my point very clear. Mm-hmm. When they're in the Super Bowl, I don't enjoy the Super Bowl as much.
Maybe if you had a couple of...
More cocktails?
Pre-party.
Okay.
Just a little pre-party.
All right.
But look, I get that you have more to lose than those of us who don't have a team in mm-hmm. the thing. But isn't it a dream of every sports fan to have the opportunity to win a championship?
I mean, absolutely.
That's what you want every season. You want to see your team play.
No, it wasn't like they won yesterday and I was like, damn it, Super Bowl. No, I was super happy. And I was really happy about Atlanta. I was so wrong about the Packers.
How about that?
But wow, Atlanta and Boston College quarterback. So I've got someone to sort of root for, even if the Patriots
no,
lose.
No, that's bogus.
No.
You know, you can't go for one player on the team that is opposing
no,
your
would,
team.
It would make me not as sad.
Mm. You're covering all the bases,
really,
aren't
Bean?
You? Bean disagrees.
Well, look, I think you should be as sad as you can be sad if the Patriots lose the Super Bowl.
You would love that, I know.
But I think it's – no. What I'm saying is I hear what you're saying about rooting for Matt Ryan. It's mm-hmm. okay to want Matt Ryan to not have an embarrassingly bad day but still sure. make sure his team loses.
I'd love that.
I think
yes.
that's where you got to come down
Absolutely.
On this. He looks good. He did everything he could, but it just wasn't enough to beat the Mighty Pats.
I'd love that.
I didn't watch I went to bed right after I think they were up about 23 or something like that when I went to bed, and it was right after Tom Brady blew the biggest snot rocket in NFL
Wasn't
history.
He's been sweet. Doing that lately.
And they kept the camera on him too.
Yes.
And that was pretty sweet.
The first thing I thought, because Donna was super grossed out by that,
yeah.
and I said, in his defense, you never know when the camera's going to be on you.
Right.
Okay? It's not like he did it on purpose to be on TV. He didn't know the camera was on. But on the other hand, you're a human being, and there's no real need or reason to blow snot out of each nostril at that force in front of other people ever, is there?
Yeah, of course yeah, there is.
If you're an athlete, you're not stopping to get a tissue.
Right.
Anybody got a Kleenex?
They got a
no.
guy walking around with the full-time
no,
Gatorade.
They're not
Tell me they couldn't
their
hand
nose
him a
with tissue.
How about just
Have you watched any sport ever?
Of course
Are you
I
in
have.
The world?
How about a little discretion? How about a little how about some manners, Tom Brady? That's
Come
what I'm
on.
Saying.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Turn around, do something.
When baseball players move their junk around, should they take a little time out, take a break, run into the locker room so they could scratch their things?
Didn't know.
Wow.
Definite drop off.
That ended pretty weak.
I don't know. I mean, baseball players are kind of out there in the middle of a field, kind of on their own with no cover. I don't know that they have a lot of choice. I don't know. I feel like there's a more discreet way to do what Tom Brady did.
There's nothing. What's so offensive about that? The guy's blowing his nose. Who cares?
I don't like it.
But who cares?
I don't like it.
Right,
I'm just
but
saying.
Who cares?
But how fun is that for the people that are sitting next to him on the bench? Nobody wants
no
to be around that.
No one sitting on the bench cares because they have to do it too.
And they probably did 5 seconds before. But
yeah.
Do you want to see Alan Branch doing it? No, you want to see Tom Brady. This is not
I mean,
as magic.
True. That's
right?
True.
Who's with me?
Why isn't somebody gathering up all that snot and putting in little bottles and selling it on eBay? That's the real question here, right?
Said it for years.
Wow. Well, congratulations, Allie. Now, are you in the King of Mexico and his beloved for some reason Atlanta Falcons? Are you guys is there gonna be a wager involved here? What do you think?
I don't bet, but I will maybe make a little gentleman's bet with him. Like, hey, I won't be as mean to you
for
like a few days.
Okay,
I think that.
Wow, that's pretty high stakes.
Yeah,
and he would have to do the same for you.
I don't think he's capable.
I'm not sure he is either.
Well, it must be fun to have a team playing as Kevin and Chip and I are all just standing around going, I bet that would be good.
Well, you're more than welcome.
We're going to be eating dip.
You'll be eating dip, mm-hmm. but feel free to eat dip in a Patriots jersey, you guys.
No, nope.
I've got enough to go around.
Can't really go that far.
I can loan you some.
Can't really do it.
That's not really.
Little Edelman hat.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I love you. I respect you. There's nobody I respect more. You're going to do a fantastic job. Very, very few people could do the job you people do. And mm-hmm. I want to just let you know, I am so behind you.
Oh, that's great.
And I know maybe sometimes you haven't gotten the backing that you've wanted.
Right.
And you're going to get so much backing.
Oh.
Maybe you're going to say, please don't give us so much backing.
Why would we say?
Mr. President, please, we don't need that much backing.
That's not a thing that people say.
Ever.
Oh.
Ever.
Ever.
In any situation,
nobody ever,
ever
says, how about a little less support?
You know all that money you're throwing our way? No.
Yeah,
stop
it. Down.
Keep some.
Yeah.
Leave us alone.
We have Kevin Smith on the program today.
Yeah.
Supergirl is back, and he directed the episode. How about that?
And his daughter is co-starring in the episode, if I understand correctly.
Oh, I did not see that. Fantastic.
Wow.
We have tickets for the NHL All-Star Weekend, which is happening here at Staples Center this coming weekend. We're going to tell you about beer yoga.
Beer yoga.
Which is really the only kind of yoga that you need.
Huh.
Yeah. We also have the man with the world's largest penis who is refusing a reduction.
You coming in?
I don't think so. No.
Okay. Wasn't sure.
No.
Is this real? Is this the wheel of bad human voices?
This appears to be real.
Wow.
Yeah. Almost 20 inches.
Oh, God.
I don't even remember giving that interview, so I'm curious to hear what I had to say.
Oh.
Wow.
God.
That's a bad visual right there.
Everything's bad right now.
Harvey Levin from TMZ on the program today, and we will check in with the NFL Network's Andrew Siciliano to talk about the games this past weekend, talk about the Super Bowl, and, of course, the excitement over the Pro Bowl. So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Hey, did we also mention we have Kings of Leon tickets to give away on today's show?
We didn't yet, no.
Two different chances coming up between now and 10 a.m. Details at KRock.com. The man with the world's largest penis.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Is coming up right after Ralph Garman takes a look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday morning. What's going on, sir?
It is a Monday morning, so we always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office to see what people went to see in their local theaters. And surprise of the weekend was Split. Exceeded everyone's expectations, even Universal's. $40 million made Split number one this weekend, the new M. Night Shyamalan thriller.
Wow. So can we not laugh at him anymore?
Of course we can.
Is he back? Is he legitimate again?
I don't know. Did you see it?
No.
Well, then, how are we supposed to know?
I'm going to make a ruling just on the number that it made.
A lot of bad movies make a lot of money. A lot of good movies don't make any money at all, so it's hard to say. But Triple X, Return of Xander Cage, also did very well for itself in its debut. Made a little over $20 million, making it number two. Hidden Figures, number one from last week, was third. Then Sing and La La Land were the top five. Rogue One, Monster Trucks, Patriots Day. Right, Allie?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Patriots Day?
Not a happy movie.
Oh.
Okay.
I thought it was about Tom Brady blowing snot rockets.
How about some manners, huh?
Come on. Come on, NFL. Get some hankies. Don't you have NFL hankies?
Thank you.
They have terrible towels. Why not helpful hankies?
Thank you.
On the sidelines. And why are they serving tea to all those players? They could use a hot cup of tea.
For being one of the most offensive people in the world, Bean really gets his feelings hurt when about the littlest things.
I like to be polite and considerate about it.
Right.
Founder did very well in its debut on a small number of screens. $3.8 million. Made it number nine, and then Sleepless, rounding out the top 10 movies at the box office. Speaking of money in movies, congratulations to Walt Disney et al. Their movie Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, has now passed the $1 billion mark at the worldwide box office.
Oof.
So, pretty strong. That's a $512 million in North America alone, so congratulations to all the rebels. Just saying. Rebels are good. We like rebels.
Sure.
Wayne's World. Remember Wayne's World? Wayne's World. Part of time. Excellent. Wow, 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 wow. Wayne's
sure.
World. I think you remember Kathy.
I do.
Wayne's World. Wayne's World. Oh, Garth. Excellent. Yeah, Wayne.
Right, we get it.
Yeah. I'm not worthy. Uh-huh. I'm not worthy. Wayne's World.
Right.
I don't think you remember.
I do. I remember. Right.
Ah. Excellent. Schwing. Nothing?
We all remember.
I don't get the sense Kevin remembers this film. Well, it's 25 years old this year.
Wow.
And is returning to theaters for its 25th anniversary. Which is great. Yeah. You've never seen it? You get to see it on the big screen. Very funny film. Based on a Saturday Night Live character that was very popular back in the day. And you can see Mike Myers before Love Guru. I know he's best known for Love Guru, but this was the film he made before that smash hit. The Flash, Supergirl, right?
Right.
We now have air dates, broadcast dates, for the musical crossover episodes of The Flash and Supergirl. March 20th and 21st. They'll start on The Supergirl and then wind up the very next night on The Flash. And not just Flash and Supergirl will be singing, by the way. Lots of the supporting cast members also have musical backgrounds. So you get to hear Jesse L. Martin, Victor Garber, Carlos Valdez, Jeremy Jordan, John Barrowman. Right?
Right.
Jeremy Jordan from Supergirl, by the way, was in Newsies on Broadway. Jesse Martin, Broadway in Rent. Victor Garber, Broadway, Sweeney Todd. So these people have some chops. Should be a fun episode. Look forward to it. To take on the music meister, I think. The music master. Dr. Music. I forget who the villain is, but there's a lot of music involved. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars born on today, January 19th. Richard Dean Anderson, MacGyver.
I think it's the 23rd today, Ralph.
Hmm. Sure, sure. This is January 19th right here.
Sure.
And I thought that seemed wrong. And I said, well, you know what? I'm not positive.
Right.
And someone took the time to write this down.
Right.
So I'm going to go with the number that's on the
sheet.
But
who took the time to write it down?
I don't know, but that douchebag was spending a lot of time in here flapping his gums. And a lot less time, apparently, finding out the god...
Oh.
I don't think you can say that word.
Still. Pretty sure I just did.
You did.
You did.
Trust me, I'm going to say a lot more once I leave this room.
Oh, no.
Richard Dean Anderson is 67 years old today. Sully! Pilot Chesley Sullenberger. Sully Sullenberger. Why does no one serve a Sullenberger? Why can't you... Isn't there a restaurant somewhere where you can order up a Sullenberger?
What would that be exactly?
The man's a hero.
Right.
Doesn't he deserve a sandwich named after him?
Kevin needs more details.
Sure,
what exactly would that burger be?
A Sullenberger, Allie, would be a delicious prime cut sirloin beef hamburger that they bring in on a river of gravy. And they just land it right there at your table.
Like, that's why there's no Sullenberger,
Ralph. I think it'd be genius. Sully is 66 years old today. Mariska Hargitay from Law & Order. Chang, chang, chang. SVU. She's 53 years old today. Tiffany Thiessen. Kelly Kapowski. And, of course, she was on White Collar for many seasons. 43 years old today. And UFC Hall of Famer Tito Ortiz. What are he celebrating today?
Wow.
Probably with a lot of ice.
Probably not much.
He retired. He's done.
Before the fight, apparently.
Oh. What do you mean?
He won.
He destroyed him.
Tito won, Ralph.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
He beat Chael Sonnen this weekend.
What was it, 30 seconds? 40 seconds?
Yeah, pretty.
It's just Tito.
It's just Tito. Tito came, he looked like he just was a buzzsaw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garn. I walk the showbiz beat.
Harvey Levin in the newsroom at TMZ.com joins us in about 50 minutes or so here on K-Rock. We'll talk football next hour with Andrew Siciliano, and we have your Kings of Leon tickets coming up too. But first, Kevin, introduce us to your new hero.
I don't know that he's my new hero. You know, brother in arms, maybe. Roberto is a man who has, they say, the world's biggest penis.
All right.
Go on.
Here's Roberto telling you about as he grew up.
When I was 9, my little penis is growing, you know. It started more growing and growing. When I was by 16, it was by 8 inches.
Okay, 16, 5 inches. Okay.
When I was 20, that was by 12 inches.
12 inches.
How? 12 inches. Okay.
Yep.
Well, when I was by 25, I was by 12 inches.
20 inches?
I moved to USA and start growing too, you know, till now. And it's by 20 inches now.
It's by 20 inches now. 20 inches.
Okay. Not a positive.
No.
At all.
No.
You see him walking. It's comical because...
Oh. He's a tripod.
Yeah. And it's not thin, shall we say. I mean, it's very... You can see right through in his pants.
It's
like,
girthy as
pretty
well
much.
As long.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
What would you say to people who think that it's not real?
No, sometimes when the people ask me if it's not real, I ask them if they want to see me. They want to see me.
So if they think it's not real, he's willing.
Sure.
So what do you think the reporter asks?
Let's see it, Roberto.
Can you show us your penis?
This or I can show you.
So I cut out about a minute here of him trying to wrangle out of his clothes.
It's not as easy as you might think.
No, it is not.
Do you know why your penis is so long?
No, I don't know how. Why? I don't know why my penis is too long.
And why do you have the bandages?
Okay, so he's got bandages on it.
Ooh. Oh.
Yeah, right?
Ooh. That's suspect.
Right.
To be comfortable, you know. Because my bothering me in my pants. That is why.
Bothers him in his pants.
Oh, like friction?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry.
What would happen if you didn't have the bandages?
I mean, really, that's enough questions on that topic.
Don't get comfortable.
What would be the problem for you?
All right, take it easy.
Describe in detail. What the hell, reporter?
What's up with the reporter?
Now, is this like when people run marathons, they put the Band-Aids on their nipples because of the friction of their clothes up against the skin?
Yeah, I assume so.
Chafing.
Same sort of thing is happening here, so he's got to keep it wrapped, huh?
Yep. Yes, he does.
So Roberto has a penis that is almost 20 inches long, and he claims that it grew naturally. But he was reluctant to remove the bandages.
Okay, this reporter really wants to see
he's
it.
Obsessed.
Yeah, he does.
He claims that it's a disability, which prevents him from working.
Ah, he's claiming disability.
Oh, and the reporter's a little suspect.
Yes, something is not right here. He wants to get paid without working because of it.
Okay.
And part of his claim for disability benefit involved him having a scan to prove that his penis was in fact real.
All right, so he goes and he gets a CAT scan.
Okay.
And the doctor says, yes, it is. Yes, it is real.
He gets a pants
scan.
Could
this have happened naturally, as Roberto had claimed?
He told about this to his psychiatrist, that he began with this enlargement since he was a teenager, wrapping some bands around his penis with some weights and trying to stretch it, that he was obsessed with the penis length.
Right.
So. Oh, no.
He would wrap weights around it when he was a teenager.
Now, I have heard of young men trying that, but my understanding was that does not work. But apparently it does.
Apparently it does.
But I
He flat out lied in that interview, talking about how he doesn't know why his penis got so big, and it just happened, right?
And this reporter is upset. And he attacks.
With the doctor's revelations about the length of Roberto's foreskin and the fact that he had admitted to doing it to himself to a psychiatrist.
Yeah, I left part of that out, Ellie. It's, it's a large amount. It's a large amount.
So it's just foreskin. It's
pretty
not
much.
Actual, like, penis
I mean,
in it. It's... Come on. 20 inches of just flappy skin. F you.
I had to confront Roberto about both of these things.
Oh, it's on now.
So you say that the penis grew naturally.
Yeah, naturally, yeah.
What the doctor said was that you have been making this...
Nothing bigger, that's not true.
He said
and
that...
Nothing makes the penis bigger.
Nothing makes it bigger.
Okay.
It's not true.
All right.
It's just not true.
So what they also said that it's not the... glands of the penis, it's the skin around the penis, which has been stretched.
Yeah, the skin, yeah. It's not the penis.
You guys think he's off again. Roberto's like,
right.
Okay, all right.
Right.
Now he's focusing on the right things.
Okay.
The penis is over here. The head of the penis. and I got extra meat.
I've got what?
I tell.
What?
I've got extra meat, he said.
I'm not sure, but I need that clip. All right, let's hear it again.
And I got extra meat. Grow up. I tell.
So you think the doctors were not telling us the truth?
No, I didn't do it.
No, he didn't do it.
I don't know. I kind of believe Roberto.
Do you?
Yeah, he seems pretty truthful.
He's pretty sharp.
Eric Pume from Culver City just won those tickets that we just gave away here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and he's qualified for the trip to go see the band at Hyde Park in London. We have another chance for you at 9 o'clock this morning. Hey, it's a Monday morning. That means TMZ.com's on the line. Harvey Levin, how are you, sir?
I'm good, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to talk to you. As a journalist and a newsman, don't you feel so unencumbered by not having to report facts anymore? Now that we live in an age of alternative facts, Harvey, you literally can put anything you want up on the website.
Look, I got to tell you, Kellyanne is a smart cookie. She is.
Do you know her? Do you know her as well, Kellyanne Conway?
I know her. And right. I'm telling you, she is incredibly smart, and she is, you know, in many ways the brains behind Donald Trump, you know, achieving what he did by getting elected. I mean, she is super smart. However, I couldn't believe she said that.
Alternative facts. It wasn't a falsehood. It was just alternative facts he presented.
I mean, I almost fell off the when I watched that. I couldn't believe she did it. It's just not her. And you know what? It's like, at a point, let it go.
I feel like if she
just
did it,
it
is
it
her.
Go. What do you mean?
I feel like if she said it, that is her.
Well, look. I mean, here's the problem. It's indefensible. I mean, when you look at the pictures. Mm-hmm. First of all, Obama's The Obama's crowd, his first inauguration, absolutely positively bigger than Trump.
Estimated at 1.8 million.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
but just, it doesn't matter. We put something up on the website where you can look, you eyeball the various events on the National Mall, and you can tell. I mean, you may not know the exact number, but you can tell when one's bigger than another.
Right.
So it's like, why go down a road when visually, where it doesn't even matter what the exact number is, but it's clear one's bigger than the other. And it's like, why bother with that?
Yes. Because someone might be a pathological liar and just not care because his followers are eating it up. It's fake news. It's fake news. Everything's fake.
But you're the president of the United States. Who cares whether 5 people or 5 million people come? It doesn't matter. That's not what's important.
It shouldn't matter.
Yeah, look, I will tell you, I think that the problem here, he has been a creature of ratings, mm-hmm. and, you know, this stuff has mattered to him in the past.
Yeah, that's how he measures himself.
Yeah.
I mean, look, that's his training. That's the history he's had over the last 12 years, for sure.
Right.
And, you know, this is a different job, but habits are hard to break.
Exactly.
And I don't know. It's like, at a point, somebody's got to say, and maybe they did, but you got to just say no. This is absurd.
Hit him with a newspaper on
right?
his nose.
Well, no, I mean,
he's with me.
But at a point, you got a reason, and you got to explain. Look, you're not going to win this one.
And exactly. Well,
and if it's ultimately about winning, you can't win this one.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, Harvey, that you're the greatest person in the world, the best looking and the smartest and the greatest journalist ever, period.
I mean,
I just want to say
true,
that.
But
period.
Still.
Are those alternative facts, Bean?
Yes, they are. All right, let's talk about the thing
lot,
that's
guys.
Up on
Man,
the site.
Man, Bean.
I actually...
Can I just ask you something?
Of course.
Were all of those qualities alternative facts?
Yes, I mean, I'm afraid so.
Pick and choose.
You're barely tolerable, Harvey, if I can be honest. Now, here's what I wanted to ask you about, because we talked last week about the dog's purpose, about the scandalous video that TMZ broke, by the way, that was revealed that showed that German Shepherd, one of the stars of this new film coming out, being pushed into the water against his will. And it was a lot of people were very upset because they thought that the dog was treated poorly. That wasn't the end of the story. Then another story came out that said that the dog was totally fine. Explain it to me, Harvey. He was totally fine to do the trick, just not from that side of the pool, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, the video is hard to watch. It's mm-hmm. The dog looks terrified, and the handler is trying to get him in the water, and the dog doesn't want to go. And, you know, that set off kind of a firestorm. The studio says, look, the dog was fine going in the water. It's just that at the last minute, one of the producers wanted to change the angle, the point of entry, and that kind of freaked the dog out. But after 40 seconds, everything was fine. I'm not even sure they're saying that this was – I don't think they're necessarily saying that everything was done correctly, but I think they're saying this was an angle change. The dog was fine. It was 40 seconds. I think they probably regret the 40 seconds.
Oh, I'm sure, sure.
It is what it is, and they ended up having to cancel the premiere in Hollywood because they were afraid of violence at the hands of PETA. So now we find out that PETA, you know, the movie is supposed to open on Friday, and PETA is going to be out at various movie theaters all over the country, and it's going to be kind of like a union picket line where they taunt scabs who try to cross. And it's unclear exactly how far they're going to go, but they're going to have leaflets, they're going to be loud, and the idea is they're going to try and dissuade people from buying tickets.
Wow. And what do you think about their strategy, Harvey? And, you know, we've certainly seen a lot of incidents like this in the past where PETA, some people say, has gone too far. Others say, hey, that's what you need to do to get on the news and make people's radar.
Yeah, I mean, look, I have mixed feelings about it because on the one hand, I'm a big animal rights person and think that somebody needs to create a voice where they're getting noticed, and they've done that. Sometimes I really do think they go too far. I mean, the idea of just throwing red paint at somebody wearing a fur coat, I hate fur,
and I hate
the process. But, I mean, you're not winning hearts and minds by doing that.
How much, last question on this, Harvey, how much do you think this controversy is going to hurt this movie? Do the most people not care, and once they hear, oh, the dog was fine, it's not like they drowned it or anything like that, they'll say, hey, let's just go and enjoy the movie? Or do you think that there's such a stain on this as a result of this publicity that the movie is just sunk before it even opens?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think, you know, the problem is that it's not this is not like an ancillary thing. The whole movie is about, you know, this loving, you know, feeling toward this dog, and now everybody's got this image, and I don't know. I mean, it's not going to help.
I mean, it's impossible to tell how it would have done without it.
Yeah, we don't have
we don't know that.
Yeah, we can't tell.
This was a big movie. I mean, this was Amblin. Yeah. It was Universal. And, you know, there was a lot that was behind it. So I just don't know. But it's, you know, clearly not going to help.
All right. TMZ throughout the day on Fox Channel 11. And, of course, TMZ Live, which is a lot of people's favorite of the shows, airs at 4 p.m. Same channel, TMZ Sports, Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. And don't forget, get your tours and merchandise and all the other information and all the news at TMZ.com. Harvey, have a great week. Thanks for coming on. We'll do it again next Monday.
Okay, guys. We'll see you.
I've never tried yoga.
I have.
I am told it is very difficult, much harder than it looks.
Yeah, you feel so incredibly stupid because the instructor says, okay, just take this pose. And you can't. You just literally, for the longest time, you can't hold that pose. So you fall, you get back up, you fall, you get back up.
Yeah.
It's tough.
All the farting.
What?
What?
People fart a lot in yoga.
I haven't really noticed that.
Yes,
I didn't realize that was a thing.
Really?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Like, their body's all comfortable and their sphincter, like, when they lean over, then it's just...
You're
it's
going
so
to a bad yoga class.
Might be. Possibly. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
You're going to pork and beans yoga. That's the problem there. Well, the reason I bring it up is because yoga is in the news, and just like any kind of athletic activity that becomes popular, there become a lot of different ways to do it, a lot of different branches, a lot of different teachers, a lot of different disciplines. And this one is getting a little bit of attention because it is beer yoga. This is combining beer and yoga, and apparently it's been around for a while. It's been practiced out at Burning Man. It caught on in Germany. It's been big in Germany. It's in Australia now. And do you do a pose and then drink and then do a pose and then drink? I mean, I assume that's what it is, right?
Well, I mean, the name is beer yoga.
Right. Yeah.
So I
didn't know if you do your whole class and then maybe everybody drinks afterwards. And I don't see how beer, how that helps you with yoga. So I have many questions, I guess, is what I'm getting at. So we asked Dave if there's any way we could talk to a yogi, and I think we have a beer yoga instructor named Steve on the phone with us. Steve, are you there?
I am Steve.
Hey, how are you? Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
So you thought that everybody would just go do a class of yoga and then go get beers afterwards?
That was that was his first guess.
That's just called yoga.
All right. I accept that. That sounds fair.
Going out after yoga is what we call it. We call that.
Okay, so in other words, that would incorporate the beer into the yoga.
No, this is the combination of the beer and the boga.
The beer and the yoga, right.
The beer and the yoga.
Together, and also it's part of the spirituality of the event is also with the beer.
What? So the beer helps...
Yes, and many
with the spirituality?
Many of our popular poses are connected to the culture of the beer.
Oh, I see. Okay, like what kinds of things do you have your students do then?
Everyone, please get into the natural light. Natural light pose.
Uh-huh.
Or natty ice, we have to call it. Now, transition please to the Coors Light.
Coors Light position.
Now, blue moon. Everyone get your moons up to the moon.
What? Okay.
And now we're transitioning into the hiney. And rest with the Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Oh, no.
Allie, I told you.
Are you kidding me?
See?
Steve. Come on.
You can't see, they can't help it.
It's not their fault.
No.
But
their body is doing what they do.
This isn't.
Steve, a little more than most.
I would say so. I mean, really, it's getting impressive now.
Okay. Steve. Steve.
This sounds like more than just beer going on.
This is like curry.
Wow.
Hey, Steve, are we still doing an interview? You jumping back on the phone here, buddy?
This is,
Helps you lose weight, I guess.
There it is.
You there?
Okay.
I call that one the Michelob Ultra.
106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Hey, it's Monday, you guys.
Right?
It's Monday. Right?
Right?
That means Ralph's here with another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
It is a Monday, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Split surprised everyone by beating out Triple X this weekend and making $40.2 million. The new M. Night Shyamalan movie was not expected to make that much, even by its own production company. So a pleasant surprise for everyone involved. But now we're getting a lot of M. Night Shyamalan talking about his art, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Great.
He had told us in the past that if we don't get his movies, it's on us, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, you don't get it. That's why you don't get it.
Right.
So now he's got a hit. Just a lot of explaining how he shot toothbrushes to make shadows look like people. Triple X, The Return of Xander Cage, made $20 million in its debut, making it number two. Hidden Figures was third, Sing, and La La Land, top five. Rogue One was sixth, The Monster Trucks, Patriot's Day, The Founder, the new Michael Keaton movie, came in at number nine with $3.8 million. And Sleepless came in at number 10. Jamie Foxx story. Everybody wants to be in the superhero business. NBC is no exception. They are working on a pilot for a superhero show based on the comic book Witchblade, which is awesome, by the way.
Is it?
It was a short-lived version of it, I think, on Sci-Fi many years ago. But it's a great comic book, and I think it would make a great story. It's about a female homicide detective who discovers one day that the bracelet she's worn her entire life gives her supernatural insight into a crime that she's trying to solve. The bracelet, as you can imagine, is the Witchblade. It's been worn by remarkable women throughout history, and she's next in line. It also turns into like this bitchin' weapon. Wah! She can do stuff with it and everything. It's pretty cool. So, NBC working on a pilot with that concept. Hope it goes well. And James Cameron has announced he's bringing back the Terminator. Oh, good. Now, whether this means the governor will be back in the title role is still undecided, but apparently James Cameron is in talks with the Deadpool director, Tim Miller, to direct a reboot and conclusion of the series. So go figure that one out.
A reboot and conclusion.
Yes. They're going to do one movie that reboots it and then ends it all in the same one? That seems like bad business.
Huh.
So we'll wait and see. Cameron will be producing, not directing, and he's got a lot going on. You know, he's got four Avatar sequels.
Well, I wanted to ask
on.
You about
wow.
that.
Wow!
Well, so. Because I feel like shouldn't they have started coming out by now? Doesn't it seem like it's been a long time since that last Avatar movie?
It has been a while. Yeah,
I've been okay though.
Without the next
yeah,
Avatar movie,
yeah,
I'm not a fan. So.
We're gonna have like a new one each 10 years.
No, he's shooting two at a time.
Oh, okay.
So you'll probably get two back-to-back in different years, and then maybe a break, and then another back-to-back. So four sequels from Avatar
wow.
are coming. I want the Abyss sequel, because I think, wasn't that James Cameron? Wasn't he the guy who directed The Abyss? Wasn't he that guy? Didn't he direct the movie The Abyss?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I remember a guy on the radio asking James Cameron if he was the guy who directed The Abyss once.
Are you the guy that directed The Abyss?
Yes.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, he thought it was pretty interesting. So yeah, that would be interesting.
Aww.
Congratulations to the guys from New Edition. They're getting their star on Hollywood's Walk of Fame this morning at 11:30 a.m. This is the 2600th star, by the way. This is number 2600 on the Walk of Fame. It will be unveiled at 7080 Hollywood Boulevard, 7080 Hollywood Boulevard. If you want to get down there and see Ronnie DeVoe, Ricky Bell, Michael Bivins, Bobby Brown, Ralph Tresvant, Johnny Gill, they're all going to be on hand for the festivities.
That's fantastic.
Is it?
I love that band.
Seem a little
yeah.
late to give a new
that.
Addition this
I think
show.
They have their new show. They did a
yeah,
big
they got the new,
is it on
BET? The bio movie, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Come on, Mr. Telephone Man.
Yeah.
Didn't get any better than that. Candy Girl.
Cool it now.
A lot
can
of
you,
things get a lot better than all of
rain?
That.
Come on.
It's a great, great band.
Take it easy.
Is this the end?
It's New Edition.
Take it easy.
How excited can you be?
I love them.
I did too.
You did?
Yeah. They're awesome.
I'm sorry, Allie.
I do. I did recently buy their greatest hits, and it has all of their greatest hits. Bell Biv DeVoe, Bobby Brown, all of them. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you, Sheebee.
It's good stuff right there.
Right, take it out. Take it easy.
Well deserved.
I wonder if Kevin will get his star right next to Bell Biv and DeVoe's star. Because I remember on the Jamba Juice Wall of Fame.
Come on, Ralph.
If you go to,
don't you think you're piling
if you go
on?
To Jamba Juice, there in Tarzana, California. If you look on the Wall of Fame with all the famous Jamba Juice cups that they have along the wall.
And how many are there?
They have, I don't know, 12. There's like a, there's a, just a star, a cavalcade of stars. And I remember looking up there while I was waiting for my, my smoothie, and there was Biv. Well, actually, there's Bell first, I guess Biv, and sure. Then there was DeVoe, all with their autographed Jamba Juice cups, and then next to them, K-Rock's Kevin of the Kevin
That's
and Bean
so
Show.
Weird.
He had a big, big autographed Jamba Juice cup up, up on the wall.
And I was like, only the biggest stars at that location.
Like, Kevin has arrived. He is on the Jamba Juice Wall of
Fame. Surprised that store is still open.
Hey, Allie, update. The New Edition story, the three-night miniseries, premieres on BET tomorrow night.
It's been on my DVR for months.
All right.
Yes.
You two could have this conversation through email, I think.
We could.
Uh-huh.
But or in the afterlife.
A lot of people listening, very helpful. Wow.
Just say it's another option. There's lots of options in life. Life's nothing but options.
Okay.
Speaking of... TV specials. Is anybody besides me watching the HBO limited series, The Young Pope, with Jude Law?
Yeah.
I'm recording it. Is it good?
Oh, so good.
Is it?
Really?
Okay.
Really?
Oh, man.
All right.
The first
it.
One I wasn't very in, but I recorded the second one. Really? I thought it was so like, ooh, I'm a young pope. I'm so crazy and daring. No. And the flashback and what's real, what's not. I can't.
Well, Ralph, I've heard that some people can't. I can. That's all I'm enjoying it.
Some people are having trouble figuring out whether it's meant to be funny or it just is funny. Can you tell, or is it intentionally a comedy?
I don't think so at all.
It's not for you people, obviously. Just do us all a favor.
I haven't seen it.
Away.
I'm just telling you what I've read.
Just stay away.
It's not for you.
It's not for you.
He was so mean to that nun, the first one. I just...
Okay.
Made me sad.
How is Jude Law as a pope? Is he believable?
Young, real young.
He's young.
He's young. Very popey, though. He's got a lot of poposity. Hey, Friday, we're having Kevin Smith on the show a little bit later today. Talk about Supergirl. Friday at the Improv on Melrose. Smith and I once again taking the stage for Hollywood Babylon. Love to have you come out and join us. We have a pretty good time. 10 p.m. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets. See me and Smith, and we'll talk. Of course, Supergirl, which is new episode that he directed, airs tonight on the CW, and a great many other things. We've been off for a couple weeks, so I'm looking forward to seeing Mr. Smith again. Improv.com to get your tickets.
Point of order. I don't accept this offer.
All these stars born today. January 23rd, it turns out, is the date.
Huh.
Yeah. Richard Dean Anderson, you remember him. MacGyver. He is 67 years old today. Chelsea Sullenberger. Captain Sully, 66 years old. Mariska Hargitay is 53 years old. Tiffany Thiessen of Saved by the Bell fame. And, of course, White Collar. Loved her on White Collar. 43 years old. And Tito Ortiz. Congratulations to Tito. He, of course, beat Chael Sonnen this weekend at Bellator 170. He is 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network will be joining us later on this hour to talk about all things Patriots and Falcons as we head toward Super Bowl LI. First, though, Ralph, I'm glad you're in here because you came in a couple of weeks ago on fire about MyPillow being in the news.
Yeah, some BS. A Better Business Bureau says, oh, they're not good. F you, BBB.
And by the way, all they were trying to do was sell their pillows cheap, right? That's what they were getting in trouble for
they
their advertising.
They stock them deep and they sell them cheap. That's what they do.
Nothing wrong with the product, just, hey, you can't advertise a sale if it's your regular price.
Product's heavenly, first of all. And secondly, they were selling them at a two-for-one deal.
Right.
Where you bought one, you got one for free. But that was their standard, apparently, pricing. And so they were complaining because the Better Business Bureau was claiming that, well, people should be able to buy one pillow at half the price of what they're charging if, in fact, they're selling two pillows for one price.
That sounds like a get-off-my-phone moment to me. I'm like, back off. Let the pillow people do their business, right?
Right. That's what we always say. Let the pillow people do their business.
Ralph, why is the MyPillow great? Just because you saw the infomercial?
Why is sunshine warm, Kevin? why is water wet? Because it is.
But
that's
you're
why.
A sucker for these.
You're a sucker
right?
for it's... this.
For infomercials, though, especially. You're the guy who
because
buys.
Because the best products are available on television.
Is that right?
Via your commercial.
Okay, but if. So often they say, as seen on TV, not sold in stores. If the products are that great, why don't they sell them in stores where more people could get them?
You don't understand business, man.
Do you not
I guess
know?
I don't.
You ever
I guess
watch
I don't.
The Shark Tank?
Here's sure,
the thing.
Of course.
Not everyone can get their products placed in the high-end retailers mm-hmm. because, oh, uppity Bed Bath & Beyond says, no, we're not going to put you on our shelves. Then you're screwed. So why deal with those people? Why not go right to the people? Mm. Why not live in a democracy
yeah.
and give people the option to buy your wonderful product vis-a-vis watching it on television and saying, yes, I desire that. I'm going to order it directly from you. It's called direct marketing, Bean, and it's a piece of genius.
And Ralph buys pretty much everything that's on TV.
I buy
seen
the,
on
the
TV.
Best things. A lot of people are saying the best things are available on television during infomercials, and I have quite the track record, and by the way, largely successful track record.
We're going to take your calls at what? Just receiving the item?
No, about the level of success okay. in usage once purchased.
Oh, so you're happy okay. with it afterwards even?
For the
okay.
most part.
All right, we're going to take
the
your calls.
The Grady. I'm not crazy about the Grady. That doesn't. That
the
didn't turn
Grady.
Out so well.
I don't know what the Grady is.
The Grady.
Let me play the MyPillow infomercial. This is the one that you.
Oh, MyPillow is so comfortable.
Okay,
by
take
the way.
It easy. Here we go.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs, and it holds that support all night long to take the pressure off your shoulders and keep your neck aligned so you get the best night's sleep of your life. I personally guarantee that MyPillow will be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own.
I would never buy anything from that guy.
Well, then you would be at a loss because it is the most comfortable pillow I've ever owned. It's
and
got
Kevin
interlocking technology that gives you support all night long.
I'd like to point out, by the way, that Kevin, who would never buy a pillow from that guy, is the guy who complains how poorly he sleeps so often, too.
Uh-huh!
Right?
And there it goes.
So maybe I should?
And good night, sir.
What's the Grady?
The Grady was a scientifically astounding reboot of the cheese grater.
Oh.
The Grady.
Okay.
It did not really fulfill its promise so much.
It wasn't better than the average cheese grater?
Doesn't get a lot of use at my house.
Uh-huh. I see. All right.
The Slap Chop.
You were so all about the Slap Chop.
I was very pro Slap Chop until I actually started to use the Slap Chop.
What?
It's effective, but it gets stuck an enormous amount of times while you're slapping and chopping. Whatever you're chopping will get stuck up in the blades and will jam it up, and you have to kind of clean it out and then put it back down again. It's not as effortless as it appears to be.
Let me see if they mentioned that.
Hi, it's Vince with Slap Chop. You're going to be in a great mood all day because you're going to be slapping your troubles away with the Slap Chop. Now, look, here's a potato. One slap, you got big chunks for stews. Two slaps, home fries in a second. And look at this. When you add a mushroom, the more you do it, the finer it gets. You don't have to switch any blades.
Look, it was more effective for Vince than it was for me in my kitchen.
Well, Vince had the opportunity to take, retake, and edit.
The Yoshi blade? With the Yoshi blade, the ceramic knife?
What's wrong with you?
The Yoshi blade.
If I was your wife, I would never let you watch these TV games.
Stays sharp forever.
Does it?
No sharpening needed.
Right.
More stronger than steel.
Right.
The magic of ceramic, a ceramic blade.
Mm-hmm.
Chipped about the third time I used it. The Yoshi blade it chipped. But I don't even care about the Yoshi blade anymore because now all I'm obsessed about, all I need, all I'm ever going to need is the Samurai 360. That's what
Introducing the Samurai 360 from Von Holm. The revolutionary round blade that rotates 360 degrees so you can get all of your cutting done with ease.
Yes.
A round blade is sharp, precise, and can slice through all of your foods in no time.
Right.
Look, we've all used ordinary knives. They hit countertops ordinary and cutting knives. Boards, and they're hard to control. But with the Samurai 360...
They're hard to control. They just go all over the place.
Who's using these knives?
Samurai 360. It's like a...
It's a pizza roller.
No, it's not. It's same basic premise, but it's a circular blade with a handle on top so that you have complete control of the blade and the pressure at all times. And it spins inside the handle so that you can make long, easy cuts
and
while you're
And do you use that regularly?
I haven't gotten it yet. I've just ordered it. It has not arrived.
When will you learn your lesson?
Will you use it to chop, or will you use it just sitting there eating a steak?
It's a preparation knife. You don't put it on next to your plate along with a fork and a spoon.
Excuse me. Don't act like everyone knows that.
You look like a moron holding up a giant circular
Listen,
knife
while the rest of everyone else is.
It's for cutting. It's for chopping. You can slice through things. They throw a tomato at it, and the tomato splits
wow,
in two.
That's impressive. How sharp it is. That's impressive.
The Samurai 360. It will fix everything in my life, I think.
Have you ever watched an infomercial, as seen on TV commercial, and not purchased that item?
Sure. There's plenty of them. It doesn't mean I don't want to. I'm able to withstand the pressure. But
To me, it's how long you watch that commercial. Because at first you go, okay, that's dumb. And then if you're 3.5 minutes in, you go, they've sort of got a point.
If you're 3.5 martinis in, you really see the point, by the way. That's how I got ShamWowed. I got a stack of ShamWows in the garage I really haven't burned through yet.
A lot of good stuff comes from Germany. Come on, you know that, Ralph. All right, listen, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We want to know, what are we looking for? What is your best and or what is your worst infomercial item? Is that the topic?
Yeah, best or worst. You use it a lot or it never worked for you once? 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next.
We'll talk football with Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network coming up right after this. First, though, the best and worst item you bought as an infomercial on TV. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with our man Doug? He's in Santa Monica, and he's on line six.
Hey, Doug.
Good morning. Can I just say how much I love my Ronco Showtime rotisserie?
Sure you can, Doug.
I think, actually, there are not enough words. This is the one you know where you set it and forget it.
Right.
Oh, here it is.
It's the best machine they ever bought.
I love the Showtime rotisserie oven. It is so versatile. I can use it outside. I can cook healthy foods to live for. Cleaning's a snap. A wonderful machine. Thank you, Ron, for inventing it.
By the way, that sounds like Doug. Is this the same guy? Is this you,
Doug?
It
might be.
Yeah, you cannot make a bad chicken in it. No, that is not me on the air, but the only thing is I don't know how you're supposed to forget it after you set it because it squeaks so loudly.
Okay. All right.
It's so worth it. It's like worth the counter space. I'm telling you, operators are standing by.
Thank you for the call.
Doug making the sell.
Broncos got a long history.
They do, don't they?
They have the pocket fisherman, don't forget.
Oh, sure.
Pocket fisherman.
It was a fishing rod that you could put in your pocket.
Sure, sure.
Because the next, you don't know when you're walking along.
You don't know.
Oh, I got a fish. And then luckily, I'm in my pocket right here. I have a fishing rod, which Kevin, I'm sure, has in his pocket right now, by the way.
I may. I'm not positive.
A full-sized fishing rod.
I haven't checked today.
Yeah.
Let's go to line two, please, Panorama City. This is going to be Tim. He's on the flip side. He's not as happy with the purchases as maybe the last caller was.
Hey, Geronimo.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What did you buy?
I bought the Chef Basket.
The Chef Basket.
Introducing the Chef Basket, the new cooking dynamo that transforms itself for dozens of everyday uses. Making pasta can be an adventure.
Right?
Ouch! You have to grab tight with pot holders.
Oh no! There must
be a better way. But with the Chef Basket, you simply put in your pasta and put it in the pot.
Is that how it goes, Geronimo?
It's 100% crap.
Oh no!
What's the problem with it?
The problem is they forgot to mention that the pasta gets soft, so when you're pulling it out and pouring it into your plate, it gets stuck in the mesh. So if you notice in the commercial, they actually used like giant pasta, like mozzarella, like the big round ones.
Uh-huh.
It's not going to get caught in the mesh, and they like show potatoes. And
Are you
things.
Saying that they intentionally misled you?
Yes, it was alternative facts.
Sounds like user error to me. If you're putting angel hair in the Chef Basket, that might be on you.
I feel like Ralph's going to go home and order this now.
I like the Chef Basket.
It's working for you.
All right, thank you, Geronimo.
Geronimo, your people aren't known to make pasta anyway. It's mostly venison and stuff.
I don't think we know that he's American Indian. All right, let's go to...
Okay, you're right. Geronimo Jones.
Let's go to line three, please. Let's get to Tim on the line. He also has a complaint about a product he bought as seen on TV.
Tim, you're weak for these as seen on TV products?
Yes. I bought the Magic Bullet. Or my girlfriend, or wife at the time, had bought the Magic Bullet.
And that was the deal breaker?
They divorced because of the Magic Bullet.
Was your girlfriend or your wife at the time? Were you not really sure?
Well, I got that backwards. We were dating and now we're married.
Oh, I see. Okay. We thought it broke you up.
Magic Bullet.
Introducing the original Magic Bullet, the personal, versatile countertop magician that does any job in 10 seconds or less. Turn ice, fresh fruit, and a splash of juice into a delicious, nutritious fresh fruit smoothie or protein drink in just 8 seconds.
8 seconds?
Damn right, 8 seconds.
So it's a blender?
It's terrible. It started out great. I worked trying to get pesto made. On the third time I used it, and the blades broke right at the base.
All right.
Oh.
Yeah, magic bullet my butt. The only magic was me making it disappear by throwing that junk away.
Oh, snap!
Tim, very upset.
Sounds like it.
All right, did you have that, Ralph?
I also did not have great success with the
magic bullet. Oh, magic bullet failed.
When will you learn?
What?
When will you learn?
I told you, most of the products I've purchased have been good.
Give me some line eight. Let's go to Joe. He's in Whittier. He's got a product that Allie has also tried. Let's see if their experiences were the same.
Hey, Joe.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi. You bought what on TV?
The pet egg.
The pet egg.
Pet egg, the amazing new foot grooming miracle that removes old dried skin in minutes. Don't use potato peeling tools.
Right.
Pet egg is so safe and gentle it won't harm a balloon. Nasty foot shavings make for messy cleanups. With pet egg, the callous skin stays inside the egg.
Wow, that's a whole
it
nasty commercial.
In the egg, then you just toss away the shaving.
Who needs, by the way, all this sandblasting on their feet?
Allie?
Allie, what's going on with
Joe.
Your feet? You bought this?
No, it was just for in between pedicures. Sometimes you get a little callousy on your heel or something.
Did it work?
Like me, who don't go to get pedicures. I use it every 2 weeks, probably like 5 years ago. I believe they had a class action lawsuit. I got a check in the mail, and I was like,
Okay, so wait. So wait, you love it, and you got money back for it.
That's right.
Wow.
I wonder what the investigate.
I wonder what the lawsuit was for, by the way.
Just killing people.
If you guys like it.
Probably burst someone's balloon. They're probably using it on their balloon.
Oh, there you go.
Because they promised they wouldn't.
All right. Thank you for the call, Joe.
Some
appreciate that. By the way.
Feet there, by the way.
Jenny writes in on Facebook, Ralph, I'm with you. I love the MyPillow. We have four in our house. Another product that is also amazing is the Gotham Steel Pans. I won't cook on anything else, Jenny says.
Good for you, Jenny.
Lauren writes in and says, have you heard about the Hawaii chair? Have you seen the infomercial for the Hawaii chair? It's a chair that you sit in, and it's like being on a hula hoop, basically. The
I don't want to be on a hula hoop.
Not a hula hoop. I mean, it's like you're doing a hula in Hawaii where the base of it is spinning around in a circle while you're sitting in the chair.
But why?
A Hawaii chair.
Why would
chair.
That do that?
I don't know. I don't know why it would do that.
All right, let's go to Wendy from Los Angeles. Hello, Wendy.
Hi, good morning, guys. What it do?
Well, we're talking about As Seen on TV purchases. What did you get?
I bought the booty bump.
Are you frustrated with baggy, saggy pants? We all want that round, sexy Brazilian booty. Now you can have it with Beauty Buns.
All right.
No! Oh.
You bought
yes,
that? Wendy, you bought a
I
fake
did.
Ass on television.
Yes, I did.
You bought an ass on TV.
Yes, I did. Okay, you know what? I was in a crisis. I had just had a baby. It was in the middle of the night, and I had like an ugly mom body going on. And I said, this is going to give me that nice heart-shaped booty.
And
what I got was a nude color granny panties with a two bumps like in the love handle area. And the only person, I kept it a secret. Like, I secretly pulled my phone out, like, from my partner, and I ordered it. I'm like, yes, this is going to be life-changing.
Uh-huh.
And my sister's like, you got something in the mail. And I'm like, oh, you know, give me that. So I had to try it on, and it just looked like I had breast implants on my booty.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you want to buy an ass from a television commercial.
I burned it. I closed down my credit card. I burned the invoice. Like,
she moved.
Picked her own death.
There will be no record of the booty bump in my transaction history.
All right. We have learned our lesson.
I'm just going to throw it out, Wendy. I'm guessing.
Rise up. Rise up.
Right?
Rise the f*** up, everybody.
Okay.
It's real.
All right.
We're going to the Super Bowl.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Falcons friend of mine in my timeline yesterday, very excited about the trip to Houston coming up in a couple of weeks. Let's check in with Andrew Siciliano. He is the host of Up to the Minute on the NFL Network. And you are live where today, Andrew?
Good morning, guys. I'm in Mobile, Alabama for the start of festivities for the week-long Senior Bowl. The NFL's greatest convention not known as the Super Bowl.
Yeah, wow. So you and I were both living in Tornado Alley over the weekend. You have any trouble down there?
You know what? I got in okay. There was a tornado here allegedly Saturday night in Mobile that didn't do much damage. You know about all the other ones in Mississippi. A lot of our crew, because I was coming in from Tampa, a lot of our crew also coming in from Tampa chose to take earlier flights and got shut down by weather, and the United shut down, so half our people aren't.
Yeah, Mississippi and Georgia, bad news with their tornadoes. So you got a chance to watch football yesterday, or was that impeded by your traveling?
No. That's why I took the early flight. I beat the weather, and I got here to watch the game.
Smart. Right. So where do we start? Well, let's start with Atlanta, because I wanted to ask, are we surprised here at the end, near the end of the 2016-17 season, to see the Falcons in the Super Bowl? Is that something that anybody had seen coming early in the year?
You know, the thing with the Falcons is this. I know for the last 2 years that we have had this attitude, all right, but I still don't believe in them.
Right.
Because they started last year really well, and then they fell on their face, and they finished at 8-8, barely got to 8-8, and people said the 5-0 to start the year was a total aberration. They're not that good. And then, bam, they come out of the gate this year again, just like that 5-0, whatever the heck it was. They have the same start this year as they had last year, and everyone said, yeah, but it's not real. And then around November, they hit this slide, and they started losing. He said, see, we were right the entire time. And then they cranked it back up, and now they're a team that has, in six consecutive games, scored 30-plus points. That game, guys, 2 minutes into the third quarter, the clock said 13-15 or something. They had 400 yards of offense.
Yeah. So that's basically the first half. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, and this is on a team that most people were picking, Green Bay Packers, to go all the way. No one could beat them.
Well, the Falcons, Kevin, scored 30 points a game at home. It's just the way they do it. They scored 30 points in six straight games now, regardless of where they're playing. They are an offensive machine, and they really do cause the other guy headaches, and that other guy will be Bill Belichick. So get ready for your 2 weeks of, well, Belichick's going to take one piece away. He always does that. Which piece will it be? Mm. Will it be Julio Jones? Will it be the running backs? I mean, that's what we're going to get.
Has anyone figured out a way to stop Julio Jones this whole season, Andrew?
You put three guys on him and hold them.
Okay, right. Good.
I mean, that's one idea.
Even
if you look at the 70, whatever, the 60-yard touchdown, the one that started the third quarter, they had a safety over the top. The corner held him coming off the line, and he still then catches the pass, breaks away from those two, and then stiff-arms the guy where it looked like he was punching him in the helmet, like on the 20-yard line, and scores. And so that was three guys, and three guys couldn't stop.
Unbelievable. All right, let's look at the other side of the ball. So Aaron Rodgers has done everything a human can do this season, and yesterday wasn't his fault either, right?
I don't think it was.
I mean, he had a lot of problems with receivers yesterday.
He's not the reason they couldn't stop Julio Jones. And even, look, we're sitting here watching this game, and they had missed the field goal early. They're down 10-0. And even with that, they've given up two long drives to the Falcons. They're in position now, driving, like on the 25, to make a 10-0 game, either 10-3 or 10-7. They've been totally outplayed. And you say, look, this is it. This is Aaron Rodgers again, just hanging around and he can do it. And then Ripkowski, 22, the big bearded fullback, fumbled. And that was it. And the air was out of the balloon. He gets picked on what was kind of a Hail Mary / punt. Wasn't a Hail Mary, just that deep ball right before the half. And then you put single coverage on Julio with 7 seconds left. I mean, no, to answer your question, it was not all Aaron Rodgers' fault.
All right, one more thing, and then we'll move on to the AFC game, and that is, and Kevin, I know you noticed this yesterday, Robert Alford, the greatest flop in NFL history, right? Falling down on the sidelines like he had just been shot.
I mean, FIFA called and said they were embarrassed by international soccer players all over the globe just laughed their
That was impressive,
tails
off. Wasn't it?
I could not believe. I mean, he almost called for the soccer stretcher where they could just run him off the field to the opposite
My favorite line. Part was that he did it. He fell back into a referee.
Yes.
That was my favorite part.
And he also, it looked like he paused for just a second to think about it and then did it. It was so obvious that it wasn't as a result of him being touched. It was just, hey, wait a minute, I just got touched. I can pretend that I got knocked down.
I give him credit, though. It was kind of like one of those just total let yourself go, weight falls backwards kind of flops. It wasn't like, I'm going to throw myself violently to the ground. He kind of just let himself, like you're about to be hypnotized on stage, like in a bad ballroom somewhere, right?
He didn't want to really sell it like soccer players. They go down, they roll around, they got that look on their face like they may never walk again.
Right.
He was half-hearted at best.
Right. And then like Ronaldo's jogging back into the game 30 seconds later.
Right.
He's carted off with an oxygen tank over his face.
Well, it was beautiful. All right. Let's go to New England now. I mean, the latest in just a long, beautiful number of games that they've been able to put together. I mean, there's a reason why Tom Brady's going to his seventh Super Bowl, right?
Now, with guys that, you know, most people hadn't heard of a couple of years ago, the thing that gets me is the Chris Hogan thing with them. I mean, the Steelers couldn't cover him, and give Josh McDaniels and Tom Brady all the credit in the world for out-scheming, out-thinking, out-playing, whatever you want to do to the Pittsburgh Steelers. But the two guys, so it was Chris Hogan and Deion Lewis in the last two games. They've combined for 5 touchdowns. Deion had 3 against the Texans, and Chris Hogan had 2 yesterday, and the same statistical line, identical to Julio Jones. He's a guy who played lacrosse in college, by the way, not football.
Wow.
And those two guys, Deion Lewis was picked up on December 31st, 2014, on a reserve futures contract. Now, he had a bright little future in Philadelphia. They traded him to Cleveland. He had a great preseason. He broke his leg. And then two teams got rid of him right then and there. The Patriots signed Deion Lewis. I know I'm going off on a tangent here, on a futures contract. In other words, a bare minimum contract when the season ends to project a guy potentially to next year that nobody wanted that had been sitting on his couch for 3 months.
Wow.
Chris Hogan is on his 5th team. 5th.
I think this one will stick.
And those two guys scored 5 touchdowns. Because when you throw them with Tom Brady, if they're smart football players with enough athletic ability, and Deion Lewis certainly does have that, they're going to find a way to make it work.
Is Tom Brady that great, or Bill Belichick that great, or do they really always have that kind of talent and, you know, just waiting to step up?
I would say that Belichick, Brady, McDaniels, yes, but Matt Patricia too, are that great.
Yeah.
They will find a way to make all the other pieces around them rise to the level. It's almost like, so when Jordan was playing back in the 90s, if I can go back there, there was a... I was a 21-year-old reporter covering those teams. There was a fear among teammates that I don't want to be known as the guy that screws up a Michael Jordan championship.
Right.
Phil Jackson's a great coach. Michael Jordan's the greatest of all time. I'm going to raise the level of my game, and I'm not going to screw up. I can't screw up. Because can you imagine being known and living with the guilt as the guy that messed up a championship for this crew?
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's what the Patriots have.
All right, yeah. So I assume Packers-Patriots would be the Super Bowl. It's not. It's Atlanta against the Patriots. That looks like a great game.
Will it be? I think the Falcons might win, would you think I'm crazy?
No, at this point, no. Not at all. Allie, what do you think?
No, not at all.
Allie, you've been silenced.
She's just been enjoying everybody else saying nice things about the Patriots.
I'm actually shocked that Andrew had that many nice things to say.
Can you imagine, Allie, if Gronk played, what the score would have been yesterday?
Listen, they're undefeated without Gronk. You sit tight, Gronky.
Is he gone? Are you going to trade him?
I don't know.
Hmm.
Did you see him with Bon Jovi?
I saw him with Bon Jovi. I saw him with Kraft, and I understood why Kraft was slurring in his speech. If you're up there.
There was some good dancing, though, wasn't there?
Wow, there was a lot happening up there.
Yeah. Did you notice there was one last thing. Did you notice Brady cursing on live TV afterwards, Jim?
Listen, he's human.
What?
He said the SH word. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I've never been more attracted. So
he's allowed. All right. So, Andrew, enjoy Alabama. And I guess we talk to you after the Super Bowl? Is that next
after the Pro Bowl, right? Who's with
you? Oh, the Pro Bowl.
Come on now.
The Senior Bowl is this Saturday. Oh. I know you're excited. It's on NFL Network. The Pro Bowl is Sunday. And then I will be in Houston. We can talk in Houston.
All right. Let's talk in Houston. Let's make it a date. All right, man. Have a great time. And will we still see you on the TV today at 1 o'clock our time?
TV today, I don't know. There'll be some stuff on Total Access, but I don't know.
Okay. Sounds great, man. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
It's 7:53.
Starting at 9 o'clock this morning, we got more tickets for you to go see Kings of Leon. They are in town this weekend playing at the, let's say the Forum, shall we? Got them for you every hour all day long today from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. here on KROQ. You can get the details at KROQ.com. And we'll talk to Kevin Smith about directing tonight's Supergirl on the CW just after the top of the hour. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Congratulations, Bean. Your new home of New Orleans.
What happened now?
Just been announced. It is the U.S. city with the most cockroaches.
All right.
Number one cockroach capital of the U.S., New Orleans, Louisiana.
How about that?
Pretty sweet.
Congratulations.
I knew we had the nutrias and the alligators and the raccoons and the rats. I knew all of that. I didn't know about the cockroaches.
Ah, the nutrias.
Right?
Are those an alien species that have landed here?
No. Those are just giant rodents that are their own thing.
All right.
Saw one in the street the other day.
Have you heard of a nutria?
No, never. But I assume I'm the one that hasn't ever heard of it, usually.
It's a real thing.
Okay.
Beans making stuff.
Yes, now.
Tell me about the cockroaches.
Yeah.
You have more of them by percent of population than any place else in the United States.
Ooh. Well, I don't know if that's because we live in a swamp, but maybe the cockroaches are attracted to that.
Must be like water beetles, not cockroaches.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're right,
Allie.
It must be. It must not be cockroaches.
No,
even those whole stories about cockroaches.
I'm telling him it would be more water beetles if it was the water. Calm down.
Houston, number two, with the roaches.
All right.
Then Miami, Atlanta, and Phoenix.
All warm weather cities.
Raleigh, 6th. Los Angeles, 7th.
Come on, we can do better.
Dallas, New York, 9th. And Memphis, number 10 in the top 10. New York's got to be so bummed. They're known for their roaches.
Right?
It's like one of the tourist attractions. By the way, they did another list for rats. Memphis, 10th on that list as well. Then Denver, Portland, Cincinnati, Kansas at number 6, Milwaukee at number 5, Washington, D.C. at number 4, New York at number 3. Again.
All right.
New York, rat city, right?
Only number 3.
Apparently not, according to these facts. Boston, number 2.
Sure.
And the number 1, number 1 most rats and mice by percent of population, the number 1 city? Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yes!
Wow.
Woo! You did it, Ralph.
We're number one. We're number one. So, there's your pest update that we do every Monday morning.
Just looking forward to
the
that.
Showbiz Beat, the pest update.
Oh, the nutrias. I got to look into.
Oh, the nutrias. That so sounds like a species from Star Trek.
It's a thing.
Captain, the nutrias are trying to raise us on all frequencies.
Oh, Spock, get the nutria ambassador into the shuttlecraft.
Yes, Captain.
Damn it, Jim. I don't know anything about nutria technology. Can't save him. He's dead, Jim.
It's a one-man show here.
The nutrias. Captain, the nutrias...
Oh, my God.
...have declared their aggression against the Federation. Fascinating.
Today's celebrity birthdays... I got a couple of minutes. Let me go to you the top 10 movies at the box office since we're here. Split... debuted with over $40 million this weekend.
That was a bit shocking.
Surprising everyone, Kevin. Xander Cage came back, right? Triple X, Return of Xander Cage, $20 million in its debut.
How was that, Kevin?
Didn't see it.
Come on.
Come on what?
You're not,
go
you're
see
not
it,
Kevin anymore?
What did you see this weekend, Kevin?
I saw The Founder.
Oh.
Oh.
I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Which was great.
Yeah, I bet. Your wife got to pick, huh?
Yep.
Hidden Figures was 3rd at the box office. Sing and La La Land, the top 5. Then Rogue One, Monster Trucks, Patriots Day, The Founder, Michael Keaton's new movie, number 9 at the box office. And Sleepless, number 10. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Tito Ortiz had a pretty good weekend. He beat Chael Sonnen this weekend at Bellator 170. It's his birthday. He's 42 years old. Tiffany Thiessen from Saved by the Bell. She was, of course, Kelly Kapowski, and then went on to other things like, wasn't she on one of the spelling shows by Beverly Hills 90210 or Melrose Place or one of those things? Anyway, I remember from White Collar. She was terrific.
Same.
On that show.
I think she was 90210. That sounds right to me.
Mariska Hargitay, 53 years old today. Chelsea Sullenberger, known as Sully. Captain who landed that plane on the Hudson, 66 years old today. And Richard Dean Anderson, MacGyver, 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Giving you your chance to win tickets to go see Kings of Leon in minutes right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. First, though, When I heard that our friend, director, podcaster, producer, writer, actor, author, all-around good guy, Kevin Smith, was going to be on the show today, I just assumed he would be commenting on his Razzie nominations. But I'm looking at the list here, Smith, and I don't see a single Razzie for you in 2016. What happened?
Did I not get a Razzie nomination?
I don't think so. I don't see you on this list anywhere.
Dude, you're falling off.
I'm doing this film all wrong. This film is all wrong. I put Ralph Garman in it, assured we'd get a Razzie nomination.
I was very surprised. Have you seen the nomination yet, Kevin?
I have not.
I was terrified I might be on the list, so I didn't.
Well, you're not. I will tell you that there's a lot of love for Batman v Superman for 2016, for Independence Day Resurgence, and for Zoolander 2. Those seem to be some of the big movies in a lot of the categories last year.
Oh, how delighted am I to not be included in something for once.
Exactly. Well, listen.
How are you guys? I'm up at Park City, man. I'm buried in snow, and Sundance 2017 is sundancing as fast as it can, man. I've been interviewing people for the IMDb Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Today's my last day of doing it. And it's been crazy, man. I met some famous people. Let me tell you my quick Dave Bautista story. So Dave Bautista, you know him from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Sure.
Guy who was the wrestler, now he's the actor. He's up here in a movie called Bushwick, which is about, you know, Texas wants to secede from the United States, so they invade Brooklyn.
of course.
Sounds like a funny film. It's about a guy that made the Cooties that was up here a few years ago. So Dave comes in to talk, you know, at the IMDb thing. I'm going to interview him. When the people come in, I go out, and I'm like, hey, I'm Kevin. How are you? And introduce myself and stuff. And Dave goes, oh, my God, Kevin Smith. He goes, have you ever seen a TV show on TBS called King of the Nerds? And there was a show on TBS that Jay and I did one appearance on, where it was a game show, and we were brought in as experts, and these kids answered questions in front of us, and we picked one of the kids as having, like, the best answer. When the show aired, I saw, like, you know, I picked a guy. I was like, hey, you think like I think. And so he won. And then they showed the girl backstage, and the contestant, and she was so upset, dude. She was bawling. She was crying, and she's, like, yelling into the couch as she's upset, and she finishes her monologue, angry monologue, by going, stupid Kevin Smith. So I'd seen that and stuff, and Dave goes, did you ever see King of the Nerds on TBS? I said, yeah. He goes, when that girl said stupid Kevin Smith, that was one of my favorite things that ever happened in life.
What a random thing for him to remember.
I said, really? And he goes, oh, God, dude, it made me laugh so hard. He goes, and every time your name comes up, I always go, stupid Kevin Smith.
That's what you want.
I was like, you and the rest of the world. So it's been cool. I've been seeing cool people. I haven't been able to see movies because I've been talking to people. I saw a couple shorts, but I haven't seen any of the features. But some of the features sound amazing. There's a movie called To the Bone, Before I Fall. What's the one? The Big Sick just got.
Yeah, that's the one I was going to ask you about, because that's Kumail Nanjiani's movie that sold for $12 million over the weekend, and apparently it is just a beautiful story.
Sounds absolutely wonderful. I've known people up here who've seen it, got a standing ovation.
This is the movie about him proposing to his wife when she was in a coma, or marrying her when she was in a coma or something like that, and helping her get back to wellness, right?
It's about him and his wife. It's kind of their story. And I think Apatow produced it, but it's got nothing but love up here.
Everyone's sounds cool.
Kevin, well, you're having a good time. You're at Sundance. I feel like maybe you should try to catch a couple of movies.
I know, but I'm here in official capacity.
All right.
I'm not here to, like, run around and be entertained. I've got to be entertaining for this.
All right. Well, let's take care of some business here, because you are back directing on TV, which is just something that you are so great at. And how much fun is it at this point in your career, Kevin, to kind of becoming the go-to guy for the CW to direct these shows that you already love so much? It must be a dream come true.
It's very, very sweet. I mean, also, like, last year it was insanely helpful, because last year I had Yoga Hosers, and not a lot of people like that at all. So you had a bunch of people going, he doesn't know how to direct, he's lost it. And then thanks to the Flash episodes I did, people were like, oh, he does know how to direct, he just chooses not to on his own. So it's been helpful in my career. Like back in the day when I first started an indie film, indie artists would do stuff like one for me, one for them. You do an indie film for yourself, maybe you do a higher budget studio film for them. This is kind of like my version of that. I get to still make my stuff for me. And then, like, you know, I can jump into a world with infrastructure and budget and, like, a bunch of stars who have done that show before I ever got there, and kind of be as safe as a kitten as I help them tell one chapter. Like, I can't make a comic book movie. Like, Zack Snyder can show you a visual in a trailer
right. That
makes you want to leave your house, go see that movie. The Russo brothers can do that, too. I could never come up with an image that will make you want to leave your house
to go see a movie. I come up with an image to make you want to leave your house, period, but not to go see the movie. So I belong in a world where if I'm going to play with superhero characters, it feels like on the CW, like basically the story's been going for a long time since before I got there, so I don't have to explain any backstory. I don't really direct the actors because they know their characters inside and out, and they've been performing these characters long since before I got there. So I just kind of kick back and watch them make Supergirl, and it's a real film school for me because I figure out how they make something as good as they do, Flash or Supergirl, in only 8 days.
Well, like, then I could be a director if that's all you do is sit back and watch them do it.
Dude, you let me tell you, I was on the Goldbergs last week, and I love that show. It's one of my favorite TV shows. And I told them after day two on the show, I was like, I really feel like I should give you guys your money back. Like, I'm just standing here watching, and they're like, that's what a director does. And I was like, oh, I see. I've been doing it wrong all this time. So it's been nice. It's nice to have this kind of extracurricular thing where I can dive into another world and kind of keep the directing chops sharp, doing it with characters I'd never get to play with in my own work and characters sure. I've loved since I was a kid. It's a real good time.
Did I read correctly, or did I misunderstand? Your daughter is in tonight's episode?
Yeah, I read the script. When I got the script, it called for a character, a 17-year-old girl, and I was like, I have one of those. So Andrew Kreisberg, the producer, was lovely. He was like, we put that in there. Hopefully, maybe she would come up. I was like, oh, my God, that'd be fantastic. So I got to play with her in this episode as well, and she's a big fan of the show. Her and I watch the show and kind of roll tears at the end. It's a real emotional affair. She's very emo like me. So when we got up there, man, she was just bawling all day long. She's like, it's the DEO! It's John Jones! And she just loves all that stuff. So, yeah, she plays a character that kind of starts the plot in motion. Her character goes missing, and Supergirl goes to find her and winds up on another planet altogether with aliens. We had rubber face masks. We shot in this quarry in Vancouver, make it look like a foreign planet, a Slaver's Moon, it's called. It was dope, dude. It was kind of like making a miniature version of, like, Star Wars. Not as good, mind you, but, like, with the special effects. There's lasers, people getting shot, there's spaceships. Wow. It's a pretty ambitious episode, and it's the first time they're going to take her off-planet, and, like, they kind of hope to head in that direction more because the show has aliens in it and stuff, and she could fly, so you might as well take her into space.
Sure.
And sooner
That's
or later,
cool.
She's a member of the Legion of Superheroes, so, you know they're heading her towards space, and this is the first time we get to do it. And I told them when I got the script, I was like, you sure you want me to do this? You might want somebody who can handle all this action better. And Andrew Kreisberg was like, dude, you made Dogma, you can handle this. And we were off and running.
Tell me about Melissa Benoist. She seems like the most likable character ever.
She's beyond heaven on earth, dude. She is the true deal, the absolute goods. She is tireless on set. And you're talking about somebody who is in practically every scene of that show. She's the title character, so she's always on set. And they work long hours, sometimes 12 to 15-hour days and stuff. And, you know, she is always has a smile on her face, always happy to be there, always a chipper between takes, sitting around, cracking jokes, having a good time. And then, boom, she goes and drops, like, a performance on you out of nowhere, and it's just pitch perfect. Like, she knows that character. She is that character. And then, in addition to all the performance stuff, then there's, like, days where they just throw up on a gimbal or in some wires on a green screen and, like, you know, make her pretend to fly, and it's not that comfortable. You got a harness on you and stuff like that, and she never complains. I told her at the end of the show, I was like, your disposition, I said, look, your performance is phenomenal. You know you're a great actress, but your disposition is impeccable. Hold on to that, man. Like, never lose this sense of, like, oh, my Lord, I'm having fun. I have my own show. This is great. Like, stay exactly where you are. She is absolutely beautiful and fun to work with. So is
That's
Tyler.
Great to hear.
So is Chris Wood. The whole cast, David Harewood, Jeremy, and McCott. They're such cool people, man. I look forward to going up. First week in February, they gave me another episode, so I go up and direct another one.
All right.
This is the voice of our friend Kevin Smith. We're talking about Supergirl. The episode tonight is called Supergirl Lives. It airs at 8 o'clock on Channel 5. Listen, Mr. Smith, before you go, and thank you so much for checking in. We know how busy you are this weekend.
I thank you for telling me about the Razzies.
The good news.
There's a spring in my step going, I don't suck.
We need your opinion on one thing, and that is the new Star Wars movie, Episode 8, has been named. And we want to know what you think of Star Wars, The Last Jedi.
They announced that today?
They did.
You're giving me all sorts of news.
Star Wars, The Last Jedi is the name of the film.
It's a wonderful title. I mean, that's my first impression. Oh, that's perfect. I would have imagined that would be Episode 9, but I don't know anything about the content, so maybe it's got to be absolutely appropriate. And we know it's heavy with
Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, who I'm going to interview today. He's up here at Sundance for Brigsby Bear, this movie. So I'm going to ask him about that, man. Last Jedi, what up, son?
I hope it's not right.
It is right. Okay. The movie comes out on December 15th this year, 2017, Star Wars The Last Jedi. All right, we'll look for you on directing the Supergirl tonight. And, of course, you'll be back with your buddy Ralph Garman this Friday night at 10 at the Hollywood Improv. If you want to go see the boys in person, the show is going to be Friday night. Tickets just $25 at csmod.com or improv.com. Have a great time in Sundance. Have a great week. Safe travels. We'll see you soon, Kevin.
You guys as well. Good night.
The NHL All-Star Game travels around the country to hockey cities, and eventually it lands in Southern California, and that's this year at Staples Center. How about this? We're giving away tickets to the 2017 Coors Light NHL All-Star Skills Competition on Saturday and tickets to the All-Star Game itself on Sunday. And we're looking for your calls. If you're a hockey fan, we want you to give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. We'll give you a chance to play a game here in a couple of minutes and win tickets at both of those events. Kevin, I assume you're going to go see some
of that. Yes, sir.
How about you, Allie?
Absolutely.
Some of your favorite favorite players locally and around the country are going to be in town performing this weekend. So that's going to be fun. We'll give you a chance to win those tickets coming up in minutes right here on K-Rock.
First, let's say good morning to Emily Brandwin. Hi, Emily. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much.
How long has it been since we had you on talking about your years as a spy working for the CIA?
Maybe a couple, two or three.
Yeah, we did Ask a Spy, right?
Yeah, that's you did Ask a Spy. Absolutely. And then I talked a little bit about the 24 episode when it premiered a couple years ago.
That's right. Well, Kevin still follows you on social media, and he was intrigued by something that you wrote about over the weekend. Kevin, you want to bring us up to speed here?
Well, you had tweeted that Donald Trump was going to visit the CIA the day he was inaugurated, and then it turned out to be the next day. But your quote was, that's going to be awkward. And as somebody who worked at the CIA, I just wanted to find out how do those people feel?
You know, Trump really didn't start out really well with the community. The first thing he did was basically say, I don't need the presidential daily brief. And that is pretty much the biggest insult you can give to the intelligence community. It's what they're known for. It's like, you know, telling Big Poppy, you know, you're not really a good baseball player. You don't really hit the ball well. That's what he does well. So mm-hmm. to say that for the intelligence community is a big slap in the face. He compared them to Nazis. He accused the outgoing DCI of leaking the media, you know, leaking information to the press. So, you know, not starting out on a great foot.
All right, but let me ask you a question about that, because I assume that there are a lot of people that work at the CIA, and I assume that there are a lot of secrets that are kept at the CIA that could be leaked if he made them enemies.
Absolutely. You know, he's shown that he doesn't really have a healthy respect for covert information or for keeping a secret. You know, his Twitter finger is he's very quick to tweet. So mm-hmm. I'm sure the intelligence community is also a little nervous about sharing any of their intelligence with him. I would be. I know I would just hope and pray that he surrounds himself with really smart people who understand the intelligence and what's going on in the world. I mean, he made it clear he doesn't really care and that he's real smart, so he doesn't need to know what's going on in the world. So, yeah, I think it's a scary time to work at the CIA, and the CIA is typically very nonpartisan, so it has nothing to do with Republicans or Democrats. They're just about providing intelligence. That's all they do, and that's all they want to do is really serve the country. Mm-hmm. Some of the most patriotic people you would ever meet at the agency.
And part of the reason that Mr. Trump got off to kind of a rough start and had a bad taste in his mouth about the intelligence community is because they were telling him things, and not just the CIA, but also the FBI and the NSA were all telling him things that he didn't want to believe that contrasted with what he thought he already knew before getting those facts, right? And that must be very frustrating when you put a lot of work into something and the person just says, I choose not to believe it, or worse, calls you fake news.
What was amazing to me is the intelligence community doesn't get along. We're like brothers and sisters that fight constantly. This is the first time I can remember where every single intelligence agency got together and said, oh, yeah, we agree. The Russians did this. It was the Russians. We never agree. So the fact that they came together and said, listen up, I don't know if Trump necessarily doesn't agree with it. I think he doesn't want to admit that the intelligence is true, and if he did, then there would be real repercussions to that intelligence.
He doesn't want to admit that he might have benefited from it, right?
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
what it's about.
Here's the funny thing about that is that's the first time I ever heard about Russia hacking the DNC was from Donald Trump. Like, I wasn't really paying that close of attention.
He invited them
to. He encouraged it.
Yeah, he did. He encouraged it.
Basically, he encouraged it.
All right, so Emily on the line, former CIA spy, talking about the president's visit to Langley on Saturday. How did you watch it, and how do you feel he was received, and what did you think about the message that he brought?
Well, his intent, he said, you know, he wants to mend fences, and this is going to be his first visit. If you want to mend fences with the people you've insulted for the last 6 months, don't visit on a Saturday. There's nobody there. There's a few folks that are working, but why choose a Saturday to come in? To me, that was just laughable.
Well, maybe he thought that would make it clear that it was that much of a priority, that he wasn't going to wait till a work week. He was going to get to it as quickly as possible after the inauguration, maybe?
Emily's not buying it.
Optimistic view of that, and that's lovely. I don't believe that that is the case, but I think it would have been a much stronger message to the intelligence community if he would have come in when they're there, when the workforce is there, and he can actually show his face, walk the halls, shake hands, and say thank you, as opposed to giving a speech in front of the CIA Memorial Wall, which is truly the most sacred place in the agency.
That's interesting. I hadn't even thought about that in terms of the optics. All right, let me ask you about this, because the president said this in front of the room.
I want to say that there is nobody that feels stronger about the intelligence community and the CIA than Donald Trump.
First of all, why is he referring to himself in the third person?
I have no idea.
And second of all, what does it mean for a president if he's sincere about supporting the intelligence community? What does that mean in action? Like, what should he be doing next if what he says is true?
What he should actually go back to the CIA and actually talk to them and actually talk about the issues that are at hand. He should actually take his intelligence daily brief every day.
Is he still not?
He's still not taking it. I don't remember a president in recent history who has every day rejected the PDB.
That's craziness.
It's crazy. It's truly.
Even if you voted for him, doesn't that worry you a little bit?
Oh, it's terrifying. I mean, every day you have thousands of intelligence members of the community really coming together to create this one document, to call all the threats, everything that's going on in the world, and they say, this is what you need to know. And he's saying, I've seen better.
All right. Let me ask you this as we're almost running out of time here, Emily, and that is there, I think I know the answer, but you know agents and how they work, and they're patriotic people that are loyal to their country and they want America to succeed. Is it possible that there could be such a rift that an agent might intentionally do something, go rogue a little bit, to cause some blowback to the White House?
No.
You don't think so?
That's not how the agency works. And they really are, truly. It's nonpartisan. They're dedicated. They want the best for the country. They will dig their heels in. I was talking to some friends who still work there and just really discussing, like, how are you guys going to handle this? And basically, I said, you know, are you guys, you know, drinking heavily in a corner and shaking? And they said, well, after we did that, basically they're going to just dig their heels in and try to change from within and try to do something. It was hard because Trump gave a speech to the intelligence community and the CIA. They're trained to spot deception. That's what they do, is you see liars and you see through any falsehoods or alternative facts. And so for him to give that speech, I think, was really laughable.
But they are going to get more backing than they've ever had before, and they're going to say, please stop backing us so much.
Yeah, they're going to get bigly backing. It's right. Huge backing. I think the reason also that you're seeing so many people just really disturbed about his speech is the position where he gave it. The CIA has something called the bubble, which is an auditorium where he could actually give this speech, but he chose to do it in front of truly the most sacred place at the agency. It's a place that all those stars represent, the men and women who have given their lives to the service of our country. You don't give a speech where you talk about how many Time magazine covers you've been on, or how big your crowds are, how much you hate the media, and how you're going to steal Iraqi oil in front of that wall. You just don't do that. And it showed when he gave that speech, he had no clue about that sacrifice. He had no clue what the intelligence community does. He conflated it with the military. I mean, the whole thing, it was like watching a train wreck, and I kept putting my hands in front of my eyes going, it's not going to get worse. It's not going to get worse. Oh, it just got worse.
So to summarize,
so
it went pretty well.
For Time magazine, and I have been on their cover like 14 or 15 times. I think we have the all-time record in the history of Time magazine. Like, if Tom Brady's on the cover, it's one time because he won the Super Bowl or something, right? I've been on for 15 times this year. I don't think that's a record, Mike, that can never be broken. Do you agree with that? What do you think?
I don't know. I feel like that's a tangent.
It's totally appropriate to do. Totally appropriate.
All right. Well, it's going to be a long slash fascinating 4 years, Emily. Does it make you wish you were still working for the CIA?
No, it makes me so happy I left. The years seem like it's going to be like dog years. It's going to be the longest 4 years that we've ever seen. It's going to be WWF, like, fighting in there. I can't imagine what it's going to be like with the administration. I'm curious to see if Pompeo gets his hearing, it goes through, and he actually gets the nomination. It'll be fascinating because he's already backtracked on torture and whether he agrees with it or doesn't. So it should be really, really interesting.
Good times.
Good times again.
Fun stuff there.
Well, thanks for coming on, and let us know if you hear anything juicy, okay? You can follow Emily on Twitter, by the way, if you're interested, at CIA Spy Girl. Thanks for the time.
Thanks so much, guys.
Appreciate it. All right, you guys, it's hockey time. You ready?
Yes.
Got tickets for the 2017 Coors Light NHL All-Star Skills Competition Saturday at Staples Center. Also a pair of tickets to the 2017 Honda NHL All-Star Game itself. That's Sunday at Staples Center. And you're qualified to win a grand prize, which is the NHL All-Star Game behind-the-scenes experience and a pair of tickets to the NHL 100. What's that, by the way, Kevin? The NHL 100 Friday night at Microsoft Theater.
They list the best 100 players of all time, and about 80 of them, I think, are going to be there.
Holy
and it's
wow.
hosted by John Hamm.
So Whoa. You are rubbing shoulders with legends if you win that grand prize. So we're going to give away some tickets right now. If you're a hockey fan, we hope you're on the line. I think you are, because it's time for Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to
NHL All-Star Weekend.
This game is a lot of fun to play, but we always screw it up because it's very complicated. It has a lot of moving parts. But let's meet our first contestant. This is going to be on line one, please, in Inglewood. Let's say hi to JD, everybody.
Hey, JD.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Well, we're doing great here. So here's what's happening. You're going to pick a contestant, either Dave, the King of Mexico, or Ally McKay. They're going to be your partner, and they're going to try to get you to come up with the names of NHL franchises without using anything about the team or the city. They're going to try to get you to come up with the words that the teams are named after. That's how we play the title fight. And then we'll have another competitor who will take the other person and play the same thing and see who does better. Who do you think you would like to choose to play with?
Oh, it's a horrible, horrible choice for both of them. But I'm going to go with Dave, the King of Mexico.
That's the worst choice you could possibly make.
Oh, my God.
I am undefeated. I am the best player ever for Title Fight. Hashtag it's another
period. No room for alternate facts, Dave. I don't know that you've ever won a game, and I have no idea why JD picked you if you had a choice to choose anybody else. All right, 45 seconds on the clock. If something is just not clicking because Dave gives horrible clues and you realize you're not going to come up with it, just go ahead and tell him to pass. And then if you still have some time at the end, you can go back and try to pick it up. But you're going to try to come up with five different hockey franchise names. You ready to play?
Let's do it.
Good luck.
All right, this happens in the snow. It all falls down. All right, this is a type of a big cat.
Wildcat.
Yeah, you had it right the first time.
Okay.
No, say it.
I don't think you
said
that.
Say what you were about to say. The big cat. Yeah, okay, cool. You see these up in the sky, and they're bright. They shine bright.
What?
They shine bright in the sky.
I can't hear what he said.
I can't hear what he said.
That was
okay, cool. Yeah, these go quack. It's an animal.
Ducks, and I'm ducks.
All right, and this is fire. But what's the result of a fire?
Calgary Flames.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Wow.
With about 4 seconds to spare, good
job.
Wasn't
bad.
First phone connection, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So that's JD and Dave. They got all five. Let's meet our next contestant. This is going to be Downey's Jonathan on line three, please.
Hey, Jonathan.
Oh, this guy.
Hello.
Hey, I'm here. Yeah, I'm here.
All right, you ready?
Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
The good news is you got Allie. She's a much better player than Dave is.
And she has to poop, so this is going to be good.
You you understand the game? Any questions before we hit the timer?
No, we're good. I'm good. I'm ready.
And go.
Okay, this is a weather pattern. It's rain. It's wind. It's
hurricanes.
Yes. This is like, it looks like a dog, but it's not. Ow! It makes those noise.
Coyotes.
Yes. This is also weather, not thunder, but...
Lightning.
Yes. These swim in the ocean. They've got a fin. They're evil.
Sharks.
Okay, these are evil. They're red. Satan. They've got
the
horns. Yes. Yes!
Wow, in about
second
half the time.
JD sucks!
Woo! I believe, once again, Ally McKay is victorious. Let's get JD back on the line. You are a winner, sir.
Wait, who?
No, Jonathan. Suck it, JD.
I meant Jonathan. So sorry. Jonathan, you are a winner, sir. Well done.
Me?
Yeah, Jonathan.
Ali coached you into winning this weekend. Enjoy the All-Star Skills Competition. Enjoy the game. And, of course, we got the grand prize later on this week to see if you win all the other stuff. Well done, you guys. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank
Thanks
you.
For playing the title fight.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's title fight.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:51.
We are going to introduce you to the man with the world's largest penis coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. Not going to be good.
You're going to want to hear the story, though. I'll tell you, he's got a very fascinating story with a lot of questions. Man with the world's largest penis coming up on K-Rock. First, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on the Money. Good morning, sir.
You guys are sure selling it. Friday night, Kevin Smith and I are taking the stage yet once again for Hollywood Babylon. Love to have you come out and join us. No. Mr. Smith, of course, is the director of the new Supergirl episode tonight. I recommend you check that out. But we will be hanging out on Friday at the Improv on Melrose, doing what we do. Love to come out. Love to have you come out, rather, and see us. You can go to improv.com and then click on the Hollywood location, and the rest is pretty simple.
None of that is true.
It is Monday mornings. We look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Split surprised everyone by making $40.2 million, making it number one over the weekend. XXX, Return of Xander Cage, debuted to $20 million, good enough to make it number two. Then Hidden Figures, Sing, and La La Land, the rest of the top five. Rogue One, Monster Trucks, Patriots Day, The Founder, and Sleepless were the top 10 movies at the box office. Speaking of Rogue One, congratulations to Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. It has now passed the $1 billion mark at the box office worldwide. It made over $512 million in North America alone. So pick it up, rest of the world. We're carrying half the weight.
If you don't pay your fair share of Star Wars, you get no more Star Wars, okay? Unbelievable. You don't even deserve Star Wars. You're going to say, why are there so many Star Wars movies? You're going to be so sick and tired of all the amazing Star Wars movies we make.
Speaking of Star Wars movies, the title has been revealed for Star Wars Episode 8. The film will be called Star Wars:
The Pink Fruit
Mountain.
No, that was going to be.
That would be pretty good if it
the
was.
Last minute, they pulled that, though, and they're going to call it Star Wars:
Pig's Feet Don't Lie.
No, not the Pig's Feet Don't Lie. That'd be
Seven
good, though.
Sundays in May.
No. It'll be called Star
Eight
Wars.
8 Minutes from Death.
No. It'll be called Star Wars: The Last Jedi.
Yay!
Last Jedi is written and directed by Rian Johnson, very talented filmmaker. Cannot wait to see this. It's coming out on December 15th of this year, around Christmas time. You'll get to see Star Wars: The Last Jedi. Disney also announced today that Luke Skywalker dies in the film. So, sad news.
Did they announce that?
I didn't see that announcement anywhere. Yeah, they broke
accurate.
The news. So,
usually pretty.
There you go.
Keep the plot
like an alternative fact.
That, right?
Huh.
I feel like that's true.
That's a bummer.
I don't think that's true.
I think it's a bummer. That's what I think. Speaking of movies, the Razzie nominations were released today. Razzie nominations honor the worst movies of the year. Here is some of
them. Kevin, finally an award show you can get behind because you've seen the movies.
How dare you.
See what he did? Burn on you. Here's some of the big nominations. Worst Picture: Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Saw it.
Dirty Grandpa.
Saw it.
Gods of Egypt.
Saw it.
Independence Day Resurgence.
Saw it.
Zoolander 2.
Saw it.
Hillary's America: The Secret History of the Democratic Party.
Did not see it.
No surprise there. Anything that even smells like any sort of information. Kevin goes running in the other direction like a dog hearing a high-pitched noise.
It's practically a documentary, Kevin. Why would you be interested in that?
I watch the news because I'm a kid.
No one hates knowing things more than Kevin does. Really, he has a visceral reaction to being informed on any level.
I just don't want to be bored. So 5 out of the 6 Razzies for the worst movies of the year. 5 out of the 6.
I mean,
you
if you
saw
could,
in theaters.
Maybe. Maybe that's true.
Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill both nominated for their work in Batman v Superman for the worst actor Razzie, along with Gerard Butler for Gods of Egypt and Robert De Niro for Dirty Grandpa. Ben Stiller, of course, for Zoolander 2, also nominated. Worst actress? Well, that might go to any of these lucky ladies. Megan Fox for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Julia Roberts for Mother's Day. Naomi Watts for her work in the Divergent series, Allegiant, and in Shut-In. Shailene Woodley for Allegiant. And my favorite nominee for Worst Actress, Tyler Perry for Boo, A Madea Halloween.
That's funny.
Worst Supporting Actress, Julianne Hough for Dirty Grandpa, Kate Hudson for Mother's Day, Aubrey Plaza for Dirty Grandpa, Jane Seymour for 50 Shades of Black, Cela Ward for Independence Day Resurgence, and Kristen Wiig for Zoolander 2. Worst Supporting Actor, Nicolas Cage for Snowden, Johnny Depp for his work in Alice Through the Looking Glass, Will Ferrell for Zoolander 2, Jesse Eisenberg for Batman v Superman, Jared Leto for Suicide Squad, and Owen Wilson for Zoolander 2. Worst screen combo, always entertaining. Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill for Batman v Superman. Any two Egyptian gods or mortals in Gods of Egypt. Johnny Depp and his vomitously brilliant costume in Alice Through the Looking Glass. Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson in Zoolander 2. Tyler Perry and that same old worn-out wig in Boo, A Madea Halloween. And the entire cast of once-respected actors in Collateral Beauty. So there's your nominations. You can find more online, but I thought they were pretty strong. That Collateral Beauty, man.
Now, which one was that? Was that
the Will Smith? And he's talking to Judi Dench because he thinks she's love personified or whatever, some BS.
Oh, when he loses his kids.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And his business and everything, and then say, we'll get him back. We'll make believe that peace and love are walking around, and they go talk to him on a park bench. Oh, bite me. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Tito Ortiz. He had a pretty good weekend at 42.
Pretty short fight on Saturday against Joe Sonnen.
Look, if you're going to have a fight, that's the way to have one, I think. Short. He's 42 years old today. Tiffany Thiessen's 43. Mariska Hargitay is 53 years old. Nobel for Mariska Hargitay? What do you guys think?
Absolutely.
Haven't been all day.
100%.
I would say so.
Hell yeah!
All right. I didn't notice there wasn't one all day.
A little more enthusiastic, actually.
I didn't realize there was one all day, or I would have called him on BS earlier, because I think she's a stunner.
All right.
Come on, Bean.
Come on, Bean. Get it together.
All right.
Make up for all the lost spells.
I have heard the people, and now I will do the right thing.
All right.
Chesley Sullenberger. You probably know him best as Sully. He lands planes on water. That's what he does.
He did that one time.
He's like Pilot Jesus. You know they say Jesus is my co-pilot?
Nope.
His co-pilot can literally say Jesus is my co-pilot. He lands planes on water.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen.
It
Nobody
did
does
happen
that.
Once.
Jesus did it. Pilot Jesus. He's 66 years old today. And Richard Dean Anderson, he's MacGyver. Or he was. Now he's just 67. But still, we like him, right?
Sure.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
When are we supposed to hear that that new music from the new No Doubt with Davey singing lead?
Dream Car?
Yeah. What's the plan for release on that stuff? I don't know.
All right. Good.
All right. Kind of a dead end. All right.
Well, how would we? We're not connected with them. We don't work for the band.
But you guys are plugged in. You guys pay attention, man. You're friends with those guys.
I don't think they've ever made a formal announcement of when stuff's coming out.
No, they haven't.
All right. So it's unknown.
Right.
And unknowable.
Right.
Okay.
Here's Ralph. Time for the showbiz beat.
Hey, thanks, Kevin. It is a Monday morning. We like to take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office on a Monday. Split surprised everyone with a big number, $40.2 million at the box office this weekend. Even beyond the expectations of the producers themselves. So imagine everyone's very happy with the new M. Night Shyamalan's movies. Turnout, Xander Cage returned. Triple X debuted to $20 million, making it number two. Hidden Figures was third, Sing was fourth, then La La Land at number five. Rogue One came in at number six. Monster Trucks, Patriots Day, The Founder debuted with $3.8 million. That made it number nine. And Sleepless at number 10 to round out your top 10 movies at the box office. Speaking of movies, Disney has officially announced the title for Star Wars Episode 8. It has been revealed that the name of the film will be Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Taint Wars.
No. Star Wars The Last Jedi.
There was about a half-hour argument in the studio here whether that's plural or singular. Ralph, does that just mean Luke Skywalker dies, or there's no more Jedi at all? What do you think?
Well, there's got to be at least one, because there's the Last Jedi.
Right, mm-hmm.
But then what?
Then if he dies...
Right.
Then where do you go?
Well, who's saying he dies?
I don't know.
Why are you jumping to that conclusion?
I think Bean was saying it.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't saying it at all.
I mean, Bean, why are you saying he dies? You don't know anything about the plot.
That was Ralph who announced that last hour, but I think Ralph was kidding.
I was obviously kidding.
Making a joke, yeah.
I was just trying to upset people. I'm trying to upset people with like a spoiler, fake spoiler thing.
Oh, that guy over there?
Yeah.
No. Did you think that was the truth? When I said it?
No, I was just saying there was an hour and a half of conversation in here about whether it's plural or singular. That's
Jedi is definitely plural.
All right.
No, it's not. It's both.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, it's both.
But it's both, yeah, but it's not...
Don't say it's definitely plural if it's definitely both.
Well, it's definitely more than one. It's not just one.
It can be just one.
But it's not only just one.
It can be, is
it
the point.
It can be.
Right.
Well, yes.
Don't say it's absolutely plural. Well, it can be singular.
Then don't say Luke Skywalker's going to die, and then they're gone. There could be more Jedi.
See how this went on for 3 hours today?
Oh, my Lord. I'm glad I'm not here. I'm glad I've spiritually left my body, and I'm just a robotic zombie of a corpse. Tragic, man. Well, we know Luke Skywalker is the Last Jedi. That much we know.
Right.
Right. Now, whether there will be more Jedi to come after this, will he train additional Jedi? Will he add to the numbers? That remains to be seen. But obviously the title is referring to Luke Skywalker, who is, as far as this story has progressed so far, he is the Last Jedi.
Right.
Which is the reason that Rey must go fetch him. He's got some work to do. That's obvious to everyone, right?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Then Kevin says he dies, so that's sad. Hey, we have some dream car information.
Oh,
urgent. Urgent dream car information. Nobody?
Well, I thought you were going to say it. Oh. Early March is when dream car is going to...
Yeah, we just got the update. Early March.
So there you go.
And they'll be on our show to premiere the single. When that's ready to come out in March.
That's fantastic.
So there you go. There's your answer, Bean. Dream car.
Great.
March.
So looking forward to that.
The Last Jedi.
Speaking of music, you know, I've been very excited about this this crossover episode between Supergirl and The Flash, which is going to be all musical. All singing, all dancing, all action with The Flash and Supergirl. The episodes are entitled Duet, and it starts in the... Supergirl, I think, world, and then crosses over the next night into Flash to sum up on March 21st, and then, March 20th with Supergirl, then March 21st on The Flash. And it's going to be like a little Glee reunion, because they just announced, besides you got Flash, Grant Gustin, who was on Glee, and Supergirl, Melissa Benoist, who was also on Glee, the Music Meister, the villain, the Music Meister, who is the center of all these shenanigans, will be played by Darren Criss from Glee.
And what is he? What's his special talent?
Turns you musical?
I am the Music Meister. Now you must sing. Dance, my little puppet.
And then you have to sing and dance because you're trapped up in the Music Meister spell.
Hmm.
Huh. You don't get it, man.
No.
Don't you remember that episode of Brave and Bold where they did all the singing?
I don't know what that is, Brave and Bold.
All right. Sorry. Never mind. The good news is there's a ton of musically talented performers involved in both of these shows. You got Victor Garber, who, as you know, is my favorite Jesus of all time.
Sure.
Because he played Jesus, Kevin, in...
Jesus. No, the story.
No, not Jesus.
The story of Jesus.
The movie Godspell.
The last
he was Jesus.
Jesus
in the movie Godspell. Right. It's a musical, of course, about the last days of Jesus. Jeremy Jordan, Windshot on Supergirl. He was in Newsies on Broadway. John Barrowman's a big song and dance man. Jesse L. Martin plays Joe West on The Flash. He, of course, was in the original Broadway production of Rent. So you got a lot of guys who can sing. You got some chops in this cast. I'm sensing a lack of enthusiasm.
It scares me a bit.
Don't be scared, Kevin. It's okay. I'm here, buddy.
I like both shows.
I'll hold you. I'll give you a hug.
Okay. No?
Then the Flash dies, I heard.
I don't think that's true.
I think on the last Flash. Flash is absolutely plural.
It is.
You know the word absolutely, right?
Uh-huh.
That would mean it could not be anything else but
no.
plural. No. But it's singular.
Means and also.
But singular. No, it doesn't mean and also,
too. Por ejemplo?
Nope.
I don't think so.
¿Qué es esto?
Today's celebrity birthdays, Tito Ortiz. 42 years old today. Had a pretty good Saturday night there at Bellator 170. Tiffany Thiessen. I keep wanting to say Amber, but it's no longer an Amber in between Tiffany and Thiessen. 43 years old today.
Maybe we should put out an Amber alert, see if we can find it.
Come on, Ralph. There's some more birthdays.
Don't leave. Hold on. We're having fun, buddy.
There's more birthdays.
Ralph, come back. Come on.
Finally. Hey,
it worked. On your drive home today, let's do a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from these SoCal helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we've got the Bachelor Report. We have, you're a goddamn adult, and you travel with a stuffed animal.
Don't say that so derisively, by the way.
We have your tickets for Kings of Leon at the Forum. That is sold out, and we've got your tickets for NHL All-Star Weekend as well. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.